on any of the property this year? Or are you going to?
I'm going to. Well, I have fava beans I got in, and I'm going to sow some seeds of mustard. I thought, why not? That would be a real pretty, you know, yellow look. But you know what's coming up that's making a nice green carpet? Sunflower seeds. They're all coming up because we've had warm weather and it's been damp out there.
Has that ever happened before?
Not at this time of the year, no. That usually happens in early March and they get hit with the frost and then they get wiped out. And then May comes along and then the seeds that didn't germinate come up. And that's how I have that sea of sunflower plants.
So once the frost hits, they're all going to die down, right?
Yeah, but then that's going to add organic matter to the soil. And yeah, and then I hope that they come up in the spring when they're supposed to. So, but,
and you're going to plant some, mustard.
Yeah.
Huh? That'll be nice.
Yeah. Why not? Cut it down and it'll add some goodies to the soil. So, and, some I'll leave to, you know, flower. So the bees will come and
beautiful.
Take it. So.
And how are your persimmons doing?
Excellent. Except one poor branch bit the dust.
Whole
snap.
Branch? Oh no.
Yeah. Probably had 50 to 60 persimmons on it, but it's hanging. It's still hanging. It's connected to the tree. So I picked all those persimmons off of it, and they were almost ready anyway. Hmm. So I'm not quick to cut off the branches that have broken. I just cut some branches off it to, you know, lighten it up a bit. And as long as that stays on the tree, it'll produce some fruit, and I'll have to just prop it up next time so it doesn't completely come off the tree. But you know, this tree is big and funky looking.
Are these fuyus?
Giant. They're giant fuyus.
Giant fuyus.
So, yeah, with the weight of all those giant fruits, it was too much for it. And so a lot of the branches are still hanging on, and then they just kind of heal, and they are there, and I prop up the branches, and
they move
on. It's an interesting looking tree.
From Petaluma, Sandy, start us off on hour number two of Garden Talk. Welcome to KSRO with Steve and Gwen. Hi, Sandy.
Good morning.
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 I have a good question for you.
Okay.
We live in the country, and we have about a 15 by 60 foot strip of roadside between our house and the road. And what can I use for weed control in there? I pull weeds by hand, but I have used Preen. And I know we can't use Roundup anymore. Do you have any suggestions of anything organic that I can use that will keep the weeds from popping up? You were talking about the sunshine and the sunflower seeds coming up. And guess what? I have new little shoots of grass and weeds coming up out there again.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Well, the problem, we used to put out the fabric cloth. Okay, and then you put bark or whatever you want to put on top of that. If you put rocks on top of it, then you don't have a lot of organic matter or seeds or whatever that sit on top of that. They find their way on the top of the cloth, and then they germinate, and then they send their roots down through the cloth, and then here come the weeds. But that's it.
But actually, this is county property. It's not our property.
Oh,
we just keep it looking nice. You know, along our property line. Otherwise, out in the country, you know, the weeds just grow wild.
Yep.
It's a big mess.
Yep, yep. That's a big piece of property, 15 by 60 feet. If you wanted backpack sprayer and fill it up with vinegar on a nice hot day.
Yep.
I know somebody else mixed something else with the vinegar. Epsom salts, I think.
Mm,
really make sure that you dilute it so you don't have any little particles that are going to plug up your sprayer. But you could mix in a little bit of Epsom salt or just go with straight cheap vinegar, which is what I would do. And on a nice hot day, you could spray everything with vinegar. And then to really hasten the death of the weeds, put a big sheet of clear plastic on the top of it, and that'll really cook them. Now, it's not it won't kill any perennials that have a nice established taproot, because those are going to be hard to kill. But if you keep on top of it and you keep spraying the vinegar, they slowly die and that'll be that. But the thing is, we're coming into fall and winter where it's cooler and rainy, and the vinegar doesn't work when it's cool. So, right. You know, if you can get a head start on it now, because we have another week or so of 80-degree weather, that'll take care of a lot of the weeds that are coming up now. But
well, it looks really good now because I do keep on top of it, but I'm really bothered that I see all this new green coming up, and we have Thanksgiving coming up in a few weeks, and I want it to look really nice, at least, you know, past
bags.
That.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to decide what in the world to do, but the vinegar is a great idea, and my husband does have one of those backpack sprayers, so maybe that is a good
couple more things.
It should be nice and hot.
But the thing is, though, you spray the vinegar on it, now you're going to look at brown, dead, dying weeds, whereas...
They're just popping through the ground.
Okay.
They're just popping through the ground.
Wait for them to be at least an inch tall or so you have something for the vinegar to work with.
Yeah.
Okay? And then I would definitely throw a sheet of clear plastic on it, and you'll see, once they're all brown and dead, then you can take the sheet off, and there you go. But... you know, Steve, you were mentioning burlap, but this is county property, so you can't put anything on top of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Works great in your
garden. I would have said, you know, thick cardboard with mulch on top of it or something, but then again.
And burlap, we've done burlap a lot in our yard and garden. It works beautiful. And when it's tamped down, it's actually very attractive. It blends into the landscape. But you're right. This is county property.
Yeah. So I would go for the vinegar, and I would do it ASAP. Well, like I said, wait for them to get a little bit taller and then get out and spray on a real hot day, clear plastic, and watch them die. They'll die pretty quick.
This is a silly question. You're talking about white vinegar, correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Plain old cheap vinegar. Buy it by the gallon, straight.
Right.
Don't dilute it with water. Just straight. Get out there, and
it'll work. And when we've had 75 to 85 degree days, it'll work real
and
well.
And plus, these are young weeds. It's probably annual bluegrass, from what I'm seeing, what I'm thinking. So that'll die easy enough.
That's a great idea. Thank you very much.
Well, you have to call us back and let us know how it did, okay?
Okay.
All right,
I will.
Sandy.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Good to talk to Sandy from Petaluma as we move back to Santa Rosa. Glenda, it is your turn. Welcome to Garden Talk live at KSRO. Good morning, Glenda.
Good morning. My question is, I bought a one-gallon hellebore last winter, and I'm just wondering, is this a good time to repot it into a nicer, attractive container?
Do you see any flowers forming on the plant
yet?
No,
in fact, there's nothing except four branches with a cluster of leaves at the end. And I'm just wondering if it's even going to, it doesn't look dead, but it doesn't look like it's going to bloom.
Where has it been growing all this time?
In the shade on my patio under an oak tree.
So it's got some light coming through, some sunlight on it, or has it been in a dark, shady spot?
No, it's a very, I'd say, a bright shade, but I've tried to keep it, avoid any sun. I didn't realize.
Oh, it can take some morning sun. You know, it would probably prefer some dappled sunlight, and then, you know, definitely some shade later in the day when it gets too hot. But, And watch the watering, because if you're keeping the soil a little too damp for too long, then it could be teetering on root rot, and it's just not going to do much, and it's just hanging in there because that's all it can do. So when you transplant it, and just go up one size container. Don't go into, you know, a big container unless you're going to plant other plants with it.
Okay,
but if that's...
Looks like it is planted in, I wouldn't say wood chips, but just real tiny, tiny pieces of wood.
Okay, yeah, it probably doesn't like that either. I would go with the planting mix, a nice, you know, good brand of planting mix, and tip the plant out of that container and let whatever shakes off fall off, and then you can go ahead and plant it. Be careful not to plant it too deep. You'll see where the stems and the roots are come together. Make sure that the stems are above ground, okay? Don't be burying any part of the plant.
Okay. Okay, great. Well, thank you very much.
Okay, and give it a good drink of water, okay, after you planted it, and put it someplace where it'll get a lot of dappled sunlight.
Okay, great.
All right?
Partial shade for the
hellebore. No fertilizer either. Just.
Oh, I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yeah, there's already enough fertilizer in that planting mix, so you just leave it alone and watch the watering, and it thrives on neglect, too, these plants, so don't give it a lot of TLC.
It's a perennial?
It's a perennial, and it's a late winter, early spring bloomer. Mm-hmm. So
very pretty.
Yeah, and there's lots of varieties, right, yeah. And so, you know, it probably doesn't have enough nutrients if it's growing in that tiny little pieces of bark, so put it in some planting mix.
Okay, great. Thanks so much.
Okay, Glenda. Have fun.
Thanks for your call. They're real pretty little cups and bells they look like, don't they?
Yeah, Lenten rose.
Lenten rose.
Kind of Christmas rose.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have so many colors. I have one that is spreading in my yard. Has a dark, dark, dark magenta purple flower.
Oh, how pretty.
They are pretty. You know, the only thing, though, I don't like about them is that because they're that bell-shaped flower, they hang downwards.
You don't see the inside.
Yeah, because sometimes they're two colors.
That's true.
You know, they have that star-shaped look inside them. They're very pretty.
Let's go west out to Sebastopol. Phil would like a word with us. Welcome to Garden Talk Live at KSRO. Hi there, Phil.
Hi, good morning. I have a really easy question for you.
Sure you do.
I'm holding in my hand a golden, delicious apple. And on that, well, I'm about to take a bite. But on that apple, there are lots of little tiny black spots, maybe brown, but I think they're black, and then some larger red blotches with a little black spot in the center. Now, I've been eating these things with all my life, which is one heck of a long time, and I'm still alive. But I think this is called San Jose scale, and I'm wondering, is it okay to eat that? It obviously is because I'm still alive. But what am I eating?
If you can send me a photo of that, then I can be absolutely positive what it is. It's probably not scale. It could be scab. It could be those little pinpricks that you see. I remember my friend Gary Blossy showing me an apple variety, which I can't remember the name, that had these little spots on it. And that's from a lack of calcium. Oh. Believe it or not, it's called bitter pit, I think. And so it could be that. But if you go ahead and peel the apple, you know, so, you know, if you can scrape on that those spots and a little scab thing comes off, then okay, I'm wrong, and it is scale. But if nothing comes off and you're just, you know, peeling into the skin, then it's apple scab or this bitter pit. And, you know, sure, then you can go ahead and eat it, no problem. I'm sure the scale's not going to hurt you, too, if it is scale, but I don't think it is. So
I thought maybe it would add some protein to the apple.
Yeah, it would. But if you would be so kind as to send me a close-up photo of that, then I could better tell you if it's one or the other. But
okay, and where do I send it?
steve@ksro.com.
Okay.
And if it is scab, that's something that apple trees normally get. It's weather-related. You'd have to spray sulfur, blah, 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 or you just live with it. And then the bitter pit, where those little tiny specks are, like they look like little pinholes, and then they start to get brown around them, that you would just have to add some calcium to your soil, and that should take care of that. So.
Okay.
But
well,
eat away. Eat away. Don't let that stop you.
All right. No. Very little stops me from eating a golden delicious apple.
Except the worms. You bite into an
apple. Oh, yeah, worms will do it, yeah.
Yeah. There's your protein.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks, Phil. We'll wait for that photo.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
That's a very fun call.
Uh-huh.
So he's been eating these little spots for years, and he sounded relatively healthy and sane. So
You know, anything on... You know, your fruits and vegetables is really not going to kill you unless you eat and then you realize that you ate some worms or something, and then you still wouldn't die. You just get sick and throw up.
Just cleared the lines, 636-1350 if you want to reach us. Live Garden Talk continues. Instantaneous salvation and information from the mind of Gwen Kilcher. Or if you want to shoot us an email, steve@ksro.com.
Bennett Valley hears KSRO on Crystal Clear FM at 103.5.
Of all the reasons you had for starting your business, marketing and advertising may not have been on the list. But in order to get the best performance from your business, you've got to have a plan to attract and keep customers, especially now. To help, KSRO is hosting a one-hour master marketing class, free of charge, for business owners and managers, November 6th through 8th. National marketing and small business consultant Kevin O'Brien is back to lead these fast-paced workshops. He'll share specific ways to help you market more effectively, how to get the best results from traditional, digital, and social media, and help you avoid common marketing errors. You'll walk out with some great ideas you can use right away. The one-hour master marketing classes are held throughout the day, Tuesday through Thursday, November 6th, 7th, and 8th, at the Grayton Resort and Casino Ballroom in Rohnert Park. You'll have a chance to win a $5,000 ad program. For details, go to sonomamediagroup.com/masterclass. sonomamediagroup.com/masterclass.
I was up all night with Justin again. Kids with autism keep the craziest hours. I don't think I've had a full night's sleep since he was born.
Caring for a child with challenges like autism or Down syndrome can drain your resources.
Tom's already working two jobs trying to keep up with all the medical bills. It never ends. I wish I could help, but taking care of Justin is a full-time job.
You could be eligible for federal and state benefits that will pay you up to $4,000 a month.
What do I have to do to get that kind of help?
Contact Galt Advocacy.
Is Galt Advocacy a law firm?
No, an advocacy group. They connect people with disabilities to benefit programs, advocate for those denied services, and even help you get paid as a caregiver for your own child.
How do I find them?
Their website is galtadvocacy.com. There's no upfront cost, and the consultation is free.
Let me write that down.
GALTadvocacy.com.
Thanks.
Galt Advocacy. When you take a stand, you won't stand alone. galtadvocacy.com.
Hi, this is Pat Kerrigan. If you missed our St. Patty's Day with Pat tour mixer, you can still get all the information, and there's plenty of time to sign up for a fantastic trip to Ireland. We'll be leaving next March for a 10-day adventure visiting Dublin, Waterford, Killarney, and Limerick. We'll even overnight at a castle on St. Patrick's Day. Call the KSRO Travel Agency, Elise Corey at TravelWise, 935-9493, or see the amazing itinerary at ksro.com.
This is Jessica Belcher with PG&E. If you're in your home or business and you smell gas, your first step is to get out. Travel to a safe distance until you can't smell the gas and then call 911. First responders will make it safe. To learn more, visit pge.com/safety.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
It's Garden Talk live at KSRO. Gwen always loves to say hello to people on the radio. Gwen, you've got anybody this week?
I do. I actually want to say hi to my friend Pat Lang, who is Jim Lang's wife, and she's always out there helping him in the garden. And every time I go see Jim, and I always chat with Pat and see what's going on, what she's been doing. So she said she always listens to the show. I want to make sure I say hi, Pat. Good morning, and thanks for listening.
Windsor brings Gary. He'd like a word with you. Gary, welcome to KSRO and Garden Talk. Hi, Gary.
Hi. How you doing?
Doing well. What can we do for you?
Let me talk to Glenn.
Hey, Glenn. Gary.
Yeah, anyway, you planted mustard seed. If you plant mustard, the vegetation, when you work it rot, when it rots, it puts out a gas, and that kills nematodes in the ground.
Well, I also want to sow the seeds because my friend Tom Guglia, who's the retired plant pathologist, specializes in sunflowers, he came over and he saw that some of my plants had this particular disease, this fungus called sclerotinia, and he said that the mustard will help with the control of this, long story short. So that's why I'm going to get out there and sow the mustard seeds. So
My nematode count is, this ranch is over 100 years old, mustard growing every year. My nematode count is almost nothing in my vineyard. So there's been mustard every year for 100 years.
Wow.
So it does work.
Wow.
It does work.
So you had somebody from the ag department come out and check way back when for nematodes? Wow.
In fact, UC Davis come out. Yeah.
Okay. I don't think I have a nematode problem, but I do have a fungus problem. And
do you plant mustard every year, Gary, or does this, it comes back, it's a perennial?
It comes up volunteer. I mean, it grows some, almost a 4 foot tall some years.
Wow. Well, of course, in your yard, on your property, it'll grow 4 feet because you have amazing soil.
My old vine is 120 or 30 years old, and anyway, it was above the tractor hood one year. And the grill was all yellow with mustard. It was really pretty.
Oh, what a beautiful picture that would be, Gary.
Wow.
Well, it was.
Well, thank you. So you've got a vote of confidence for mustard is helping to prevent or eradicate nematode infestation in your vineyards.
It actually has. So all these people plant bell beans and stuff, and myself, let the natural stuff come up. It's almost better.
I agree. Yeah, unless you want to save the fava beans and eat them later. Yeah. But, you know, the whole reason for putting them out there in the vineyard is to add organic matter and, you know, add nitrogen to the soil. So,
And the mustard makes a giant carrot root like it goes down deep. So then when it rots, the water can go in the ground also, even better that way, too.
Good point. Yeah, that's true.
Mustard's a good plant to have, but it is.
101 reasons to grow mustard.
And you could probably make mustard out of the seeds if you get too far with the seeds, probably.
I don't know
if you could or not.
In your spare time.
Yeah.
In your spare time, yes. Yeah, trash them.
Well, thank you so much, Gary. It was wonderful hearing from you, Gwen.
Are you going to be at the Windsor Farmers Market tomorrow? Sharpening everybody's tools?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're right.
All right. Good. We'll see you then.
Okay, Gwen.
Thanks, Gary.
All right. Bye. Thanks, Gary Blasier, one of the most gifted farmers in all of Sonoma County. He's vouching for the efficacy of mustard grown in his vineyards as preventing nematodes. And also, I like what he said. It's deep-rooted, so it really helps water penetrate. Mm-hmm. And he said some of this mustard gets, 4 feet tall?
Yeah. It covers the hood of his tractor.
The grill of his tractor.
And he has big tractors. They're not the little small one like I have. So that's impressive.
Remarkable. We will take a break for the bottom of the hour news and be right back. It's KSRO. We can go back to calls right after this. It's 636-1350 or Steve at KSRO. Don't miss today's Good Food Hour. Chef John Ash live in the KSRO kitchen today. And we're joined by culinary scientist Dr. Ali Buzari. He's coming up from the Bay Area to visit with us. The last time Dr. Buzari was with us was 2016 for the release of his groundbreaking book bestseller called Ingredient, as he explores the 8 critical ingredients to great cooking. He's a wealth of information. He's really a spellbinding mind that you'll enjoy, I know, on today's Good Food Hour. Don't miss that today.
Join the switch to crystal clear KSRO FM, 103.5 Santa Rosa, Windsor, 94.5 Petaluma. Hear the difference.
The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market has lots of winter vegetables, nuts, cheese, and meat from your favorite farmers and ranchers. Don't miss Saturday, October 27th, Harvest Festival pumpkins and sugar skulls to decorate for the kids. The Beet Generation will be barrel roasting Romano beans and peppers. Aroma Florals of Petaluma has beautiful fall, pepper, and lavender wreaths. Enjoy the fall harvest at the market with guest chefs cooking demos. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market has artisan foods ranging from fabulous bread, olive oils, marinades, tea blends, to seafood and pastas. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market open year-round, Saturdays 8:30 a.m. till 1 p.m. at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
Hi, I'm Robert Haley, superintendent of Cotati-Rohnert Park Unified School District. We're proud to be a district creating innovative programs, opening schools, attracting students, and preparing them for college and careers. Our vision is clear. All students are entitled to a successful education. Our focus is learning, and we are a team. This vision is shared by our community, and we are thankful for the tremendous support we receive, which helps make our schools special places for children to learn. This month, we reflect on the devastation of last October's fires, but we also reflect on the way our community came together. Heroes emerged, lives were saved, and quickly we became stronger. Let's remember to thank those who helped and supported us throughout this past year, and most especially, those who risked so much to keep us safe. Let's also remember those who lost so much, but are helping us all move forward. Stay strong, Sonoma County. Fall is here, so let's get ready for pumpkins and turkeys. Cotati Roner Park Unified School District, learning for a lifetime, committed to the future.
Warning! Are you tired of waiting on your contractor's timeline? Wanting to start a room addition and don't know where to start? Looking for more livable space but can't find a contractor available to start now? Call the team at Sonoma County Sunrooms today. They have the time, material, and talent to get your job rolling. Go in today. They'll start it tomorrow.
Hi, I'm David with Sonoma County Sunrooms. We are the only authorized Four Seasons sunroom dealer right here in Santa Rosa. And with many options to choose from, we want to help find the right sunroom to enhance your home and lifestyle. Now is the time to book your job with a 30 to 90 day finish. Come in today, find the model you love, and we'll start the process tomorrow. Once you choose the right style and size, we'll handle everything from the permitting process to the design and installation. It's that easy.
Choose the better process. Choose Sonoma County Sunrooms, your full-service design center conveniently located on Santa Rosa Avenue. Sonoma County Sunrooms. Design, installations, remodeling. Online at SoCoSun.com.
Sonoma County's most accurate, dependable forecast with KSRO's Daniel Trucios.
Clouds coming and going for the weekend today at 75 degrees, 64 on the coast. A bit cloudy tonight, low 55, 56 on the shores. Still a few clouds for Sunday at 72, 64 in Bodega Bay. Should be a bit clearer for Monday at 74, 66 on the coastline. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5 KSRO.
SRO. It's Steve and Gwen, and we can take calls once again at 636-1350. Just cleared the lines. Here's a quickie. It says, quick question for Gwen. Hi, Gwen. I didn't cut back my lavender earlier this summer. Is it okay to cut the blooms off now? Thanks, and that's from Anne.
I'm assuming they're dead blooms. They finished flowering. So sure, go ahead and cut it back now. Better late than never, but you don't want to prune them, cut them back early in the spring when they're getting ready to form all the flowers, because you'll cut all those flowers off and you'll lose a few months of flowering until they start to grow again and produce the flower buds. So sure, go ahead and do it now, and don't cut more than a quarter of the plant back. Don't just cut the flower stems, cut into the leaves, so that way the plant stays more compact and stays compact a little bit longer instead of getting long and leggy like it does after 3 or 4 years. So you'll bide some time by having your plant stay more compact if you cut into the leaves. So have fun and keep the natural shape of the plant too. Don't make any boxes or squares or flat tops or anything out of it. Keep that curved, nice growth habit to it.
There you have your answer, Anne. Someone called off air and suggested that the caller who wanted to eradicate the weeds coming up on her median strip that's owned by the county use what he called restaurant strength disinfectant or cleaning vinegar. I never heard that particular term, but vinegar, white vinegar, comes in three strengths. It comes in 4%, 5%, and 10% acidity. What you see on the supermarket shelves is 4 or 5%. This is 98% of the vinegar you see that you use for cleaning purposes or salads, or you add it to your wash cycle. There's a lot of different uses for vinegars. Some people use it for medicinal purposes. It's very, very, very common. 10% can be really dangerous. And I'm not sure why this, what this called. He didn't want to stay on the line and explain what he meant by this. But we had had calls a while back saying, oh, you want to use the highest strength percentage of vinegar to kill the weeds. Well, that can be very dangerous, can't it, by trying to get a hold of some of the 10% and above.
I thought the one that has the danger label that we tell people not to use is 20%.
That's usually not available, at least from, there's a place called Oasis that makes white vinegar. We have their tech sheet. They don't even offer a 20%. So I'm not even sure where you would find 20% vinegar. And some people had called us and said, you don't want to use that because the vapors can be very dangerous, stinging, burning eyes. It's caustic. You don't want to be splashing this on your skin. So I would suggest we've had great success with people saying they've used just the 4 and 5% over-the-counter white vinegar to kill weeds and maybe not mess with a higher concentration.
And vinegar by the gallon is cheap enough in the grocery store. So, and I wouldn't dilute it. I know I remember telling Sandy, don't dilute it. But I think... Yeah, if you can go to this restaurant supply place and get this 5%, 4% vinegar, a lot less expensive than going to the grocery store, then okay, fine. But if it's going to take you more time and more effort and more gas to get to these places, then just go to your nearest grocery store, get a gallon of vinegar, and be done with it. But yeah, the higher that percentage. And there's also, I know when they were selling it at certain nurseries way back when, and it has a skull and crossbone on it. It says danger. So that's not something that I would use, but I thought it was 20%.
It might be. Maybe
it is 10%, okay. But yeah.
But just a straight over the counter is what we recommend for killer
weed. And a lot of times it doesn't matter what vinegar you use. If it's not hot enough to do the job, then it's not really going to do the job. So you need the heat and you need full sun to really get the weeds going.
Speaking of this ongoing heat we've had, has it affected anything on your property as far as you starting seeds or plants or anything in your greenhouses or anything like that? Or your hoop tunnels?
Oh, yeah. Okay, here, my hoop tunnels. You know, I put the frost cloth over the plastic hoops that I make, you know, and everybody's fine in there. I did use my greenhouse plastic over the broccoli and cauliflower because that I want to keep warm through the winter so I get the broccoli and cauliflower growing and maturing sooner than later. Yeah, because of this warm heat, I was peeking under there the other day and those guys are sitting there wilting. So I had to take the plastic off and just let them sit out in the sun. And, you know, that was a lot cooler, had more air movement and they were cooler. So if you have a greenhouse that you've made out of the UV greenhouse plastic, make sure that it's propped open during the day. Don't keep it closed because it really keeps it warm in there. And if it's 80 degrees outside, it's too hot for our cool season vegetables.
There, you've been warned.
Yeah, take it from me.
Do as she says, not as she does.
Yeah, and that's not, and the ends are opened. So I thought there would be, okay, plenty of air movement in here and the birds won't dare go in that hoop tunnel. So, but yeah, it was just a little too warm for that plastic covering on it.
When we return, we'll take a look at Phil's apple. He sent us a photo, and it's a little scary.
Good.
It's a little scary looking.
Uh-oh.
That coming up. 636-1350 just cleared the lines if you'd like to chat gardening live on KSRO.
Sonoma County's local news, weather, and traffic station, FM News Talk, KSRO, 103.5, 94.5.
Are you a new mother and just can't get those extra pounds off? Did you become a mom 5 or 10 years ago, yet you're still struggling with your weight? Dr. Walter Tom can help with his safe and easy Mommy Makeover.
The key to helping a patient is listening. What's really motivating them to come into our office?
Dr. Walter Tom of the Aesthetic Laser and Vein Center of Santa Rosa will help you reclaim your pre-pregnancy shape and help you feel more feminine. Dr. Tom's Mommy Makeover is performed under local anesthesia with little downtime. Now you can look younger by Monday.
Many mothers tell me that they've raised their children and now it's time for them to do something for themselves.
Dr. Walter Tom is a proud diplomat of the American Board of Cosmetic Surgery and a leader in introducing new technology to the North Bay. For your free consultation, call 542-8346 or visit the Aesthetic Laser and Vein Center at 70 Stony Point Road in Santa Rosa and online at laserandvein.com.
Attorney Noreen Evans and her team are inviting you to attend a live discussion with Aaron Brockovich, hosted by KSRO's Pat Carrigan, on Tuesday, October 30th in Santa Rosa. Erin is the nation's leading consumer advocate, and she will be on hand to talk about her 27-year fight to hold corporations accountable. Now she is in Sonoma County to do just that, over PG&E's role in last year's wildfires. You can meet Erin Brockovich in person to learn why she has joined Noreen and her team, and more about her years of fighting for consumers like you. Mark your calendars for October 30th at 11 a.m. at the Finley Community Center for this important conversation. If you have any questions, please call 707-237-2445. That's 707-237-2445, or visit pgelawsuit.com. Noreen Evans of Watts Garrett LLP is the attorney responsible for the content of this commercial. For over 50 years, Shutterbug Camera Shops has taught you how to capture life's special moments. December will be here before you know it. Now's the time to order your personalized holiday cards, year-in-review photo books or calendars, or how about metal and acrylic prints of loved ones? There are so many unique gift ideas at Shutterbug Camera Shops on Santa Rosa Avenue and ShutterbugCameraShops.com. Shutterbug, old-fashioned
service in the digital age. Tune in every Monday at noon for legal expert Charlie Cochran on KSRO's Ask the Expert Show. Charlie is a legal specialist in civil litigation and partner of Kornblum, Cochran, Erickson, and Harbison Law Firm in Santa Rosa. Charlie specializes in personal injury, civil trial litigation, and is California's super lawyer. That's every Monday at noon. Legal expert Charlie Cochran on 1350 AM and 103.5 FM KSRO.
It's Garden Talk Live at KSRO. So Phil sent us a picture of his apple. It's a little blurry, but it does have some unusual blotches and specks on it, doesn't it? Just like he described.
Yeah, it does look like bitter pit. So I would have my soil tested for calcium and see how much you need to put in there. And the ones with the red little spots around them, I think they just have been, they're older than the other ones. So you could just peel that off if you want, or eat it. It's not going to hurt you, like we talked about. Mm-hmm. And, get some calcium and talk to somebody about, you know, how many square feet under the canopy of the tree that you have, and see if there's any recommendations for bitter pit and calcium, how much to put down on the ground, because you don't want to overdo it either. So a little is better than too much. But I would certainly have my soil tested for calcium, and then they could give a recommendation as to how many pounds per square feet or ounces or whatnot. So, okay, Phil? All right, continue to enjoy your apples.
636-1350, if you'd like to chat with us live on Garden Talk, as simple as that. Or you can, of course, always email us, steve@ksro. Mitch would like to chime in about his apple tree. Welcome to the show. Good morning, Mitch.
Good morning. I did not cut down the cherry tree either. Good morning, Steve and Gwen. First off, I want to thank you. I listened to Food Talk and went to the Far West Bakery, or East West. What a wonderful place and what wonderful owners.
It's, I always want to say East West, but it's actually East Wind Bakery.
Well, I think in the fusion of their cooking, but I'm just delighted. I think he said, what do you want? I said, two of everything. But anyway, pertaining to gardening, I have Dwarf, Gravenstein, and Red Delicious. And I got a ton of apples, but they're about a little bit bigger than a golf ball. And my question is, I've kept them about 6 feet tall and pruned them when I thought was appropriate. And I don't know what is the best time to optimize their future growth and increased harvest.
I would wait until after the holidays. So after New Year's Day, then we have nothing to do until Valentine's Day. So then you can get out there and do all your pruning.
And don't.
That's what?
I said, that's nice to know. And on a last but not least note, I will be in Temecula over Christmas, and I will bring you guys some oranges.
Oh, thank you, Mitch. Okay.
Well, hey, you have a good day, and we also visited that little nursery and spent some more money there, too.
Good, good. Hey, how's your okra doing? You're having
a
hard time.
I didn't do very good with mine. I got about 8 of them that I'm just going to save for seeds, but I don't have a green thumb with okra. How did yours do?
They did okay. They didn't do too bad, but the only thing is I wasn't out there soon enough to harvest them before they got too big, because that variety, they got hard fairly quickly. You know, you have to pick them when they're really small, because they were the size of my index finger. And then they
wow.
were really hard to cut with a knife. And I thought, okay, I have to harvest these much younger. And when I did...
Well, do you need some more seeds for next year?
No, because I have a few that I'm doing the same thing. I'm letting those mature, so I'll just save those seeds from a couple okras and try again next year. But
well, great. I enjoy every minute of your guys' show. You're just a gift to Sonoma County.
Well, thanks for listening, Mitch.
Thank you, and that's our paid publicist, Mitch. No, thanks very much for your call. So you can buy, of course, the 20% white vinegar, just to let you know. We've talked about this for many, many years. A lot of people swear by it. They say it's much more effective, obviously, if it's 4 times as more potent than your usual 4 or 5% over-the-counter vinegar. Some say it kills weeds much quicker. Some people actually have diluted this. Other people have added something like orange oil to it, or even some dish soap, so it will stay on the weeds a little bit better. Other people say they haven't noticed that it's any better than the 4 or 5%. The only place you can really get it, maybe, I'm not sure whether any of the nurseries or home improvement stores sell 20% vinegar. I know you can find it on the internet if people want to try it. But there's a skull and crossbones on it. You want to be very careful. Wear goggles, wear hand protection, wear a long sleeve shirt. You don't want this splashing on you. So there's anecdotal evidence on the, you can go on Google and read all about 20% vinegar. But we're not going to really sit here and recommend it when we know that the 4 and 5% vinegar is effective in killing weeds.
Well, the most important thing is that you need a respirator with that. You do not want to breathe it in.
Okay.
Heck with it getting in your eyes and your hands and everything else. It's when you breathe that stuff in, that's when you're going to be going to the hospital.
Okay.
So
it is out there. Heck, you can buy whatever you want on the internet, but we're not at the point of recommending this at this point.
Yeah, plain old vinegar works. And also, speaking of the vinegar, Master Gardener Jim Lang has this really hard to kill liverwort weed that was growing underneath his roses, and he didn't want to use Roundup or anything, and he put compost on it, this and everything, nothing was working. I told him, try vinegar. So he did a spot test on it, and sure enough, after a couple applications, and this is this succulenty, low-growing, underwater-looking weed that just doesn't want to go away. And so he finally got a hold on it, and controlled it and almost got rid of it by a few applications of plain old vinegar on a real hot day. And so he let me know that it does work.
Did he use a sprayer? Did he add it to a backpack sprayer or just a
hand pump? No, just a hand pump thing, and sprayed it on early in the morning. And then by the end of the day, he could see them not happy. So, yeah, persistent. You just have to be persistent with a lot of weeds.
All right. With that, we'll be right back. We can take another call or so at 636-1350. We have a few more minutes of Garden Talk left, and we'd love to help answer your questions right now, 636-1350. Or you can shoot us an email, steve@ksro.com.
Hello, Sonoma County. It's your boy Joe Pags here with your early evenings. Congratulations to Pat Kerrigan and KSRO on winning 2 Marconi Awards.
There's a better way to garden and landscape in Sonoma County, and it starts at a Better Way Produce and Nursery on Stony Point Road, just north of Todd in Santa Rosa.
Hi, Daniel R. Gibbs, botanical artist. I'm the award-winning resident licensed landscape designer and contractor. Our team has won first place 14 years in a row at the Sonoma County Fair's Hall of Flowers. And this year, our garden, Coastal Charisma, won Best of Show. I'm excited to be a part of Better Way Produce and Nursery. Our family would like to invite you to come see our old-fashioned, easy-to-shop nursery. We have great discounted landscape packages, including plants, hardscape, irrigation, design, and other outdoor needs for your garden. Don't miss our koi pond, small spaces demonstration gardens, complete with water features and nearly 1,000 plant species.
A Better Way Produce and Nursery, 3615 Stony Point Road, just north of Todd. A Better Way Produce and Nursery, open 7 days a week, 9 to 4:30.
If you're selling a home in Sonoma County, you know the fires have changed everything. It's more important than ever to have an agent who really knows the market. That's why you should call Mike Kelly.
It's a different landscape these days. You're dealing with insurance companies, lawyers, inspectors. I can help you get through all of this stuff and sell your home the right way with less hassle.
If you've been affected by the fires, you need the Mike Kelly difference. Let Mike use his Sonoma County resources and connections to get you through all the obstacles and his market knowledge to help you set the right price.
There'll be a lot of homes coming on the market, so now's the time to list yours. Show me your home and I'll show you three quick and easy tips to maximize the return on your investment, even if you don't use me.
If you want the Mike Kelly difference, you've got to call Mike. Find Mike at MikeKelly.com or call Mike at 707-322-8503, 707-322-8503.
The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market has lots of winter vegetables, nuts, cheese, and meat from your favorite farmers and ranchers. Don't miss Saturday, October 27th, Harvest Festival pumpkins and sugar skulls to decorate for the kids. The Beet Generation will be barrel roasting Romano beans and peppers. Aroma Florals of Petaluma has beautiful fall, pepper, and lavender wreaths. Enjoy the fall harvest at the market with guest chefs cooking demos. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market has artisan foods ranging from fabulous bread, olive oils, marinades, tea blends, to seafood and pastas. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market open year-round, Saturdays 8:30 a.m. till 1 p.m. at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
Joyce calling from Petaluma would like a word with you about her begonias. Good morning, Joyce, and welcome to Garden Talk. Hi.
Hi. Good morning.
Hi.
Good morning. I can barely hear you with all the music.
Okay. Well, we'll wait for that music to subside in just
right.
a few seconds, and then you'll be able to hear
all
us
right.
a little better. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. I have a begonia plant. I think it might be an angel leaf. The leaves are small, though, and it's growing like crazy, but I think it probably has aphid problem because I noticed tiny, tiny, tiny little white specks and sticky stuff on my counter where it was. And also, some of the leaves are, the edges are turning kind of crispy. The blossom on the plant is starts out white. It's a small blossom, and then it turns pink. So I'm wondering, should I spray this with something?
What, you have it in the house, you said?
I do, yeah.
It's kind of hard to tell exactly what insect is on there, but the sticky stuff sounds like there's somebody there. It could be whiteflies or aphids, mealybugs. It could be a number of things. But the easiest thing for you to do, well, how big of a container is it in? Let's start with that.
Right now it's probably about 6 inches, but it's just growing like crazy, and I'm going to have to repot it or break off some of the branches because it's tipping over.
Okay. Well, how long has it been in that pot?
Oh, quite a while. My husband got it for me. I don't know if it's Mother's Day or when. But,
okay. Well, the browning tips on the leaves could be that the leaves are just dying back and they've done their thing. Or it could be that instead of the roots taking up water into the plant, the leaves are, it's sucking the water out of the leaves. because you don't let the water drain through the soil and leach. Are you fertilizing it with anything ever?
No.
Okay. All right. So it could be that the leaves. Sorry? No, not if it's growing and going to town. It sounds like it's doing okay.
Right.
It could be those leaves have just done their thing and they're dying off, making room for new leaves. So what you could do, the easiest thing would be get a squirt bottle and fill it up with water and maybe 6 or 7 drops of your liquid dish detergent and set it in the sink and just spray the whole thing. Leave it on for a couple hours. And then do you have a wand on your sink there that you could just wash it off like a shower?
Like a spray thing?
Yeah. Now,
do I have to get under the leaves too? Because
I would get the entire plant, every little nook and cranny, and then you could go ahead and transplant it into another container if you think that it needs to be transplanted.
Okay, it's going to take me a couple of weeks to spray.
Well, no, you could do it one time and then, you know, wash it off after a couple hours and then maybe spray it again that same day and then just get a magnifying glass and see if you see anybody creeping around when you're done.
And we're out of time. Thanks, Joyce. Give us a call back after you've tried it and see what the results are. Gwen, thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
We will see you.
Going fast.
Let's see you in November, okay?
Okay. Happy Halloween.
Thank you very much. Safe and sane to you. Coming up next in the KSRO Kitchen, Chef John Ash joined by Dr. Ali Bazzari. Don't miss today's show. This is KSRO.